It's hard to communicate sometimes, to get your point across, or to really take in a point that someone else is making. People talk about a conversation they just had with somebody, and they say, we had a failure to communicate. I once even saw a little poster that said the most dangerous thing about communication is assuming that it has taken place. Experts tell us that one of the most accurate means of discerning communication is to watch body language, a nod of the head, a shrug of the shoulders, crossing the arms over the chest. All may tell us what the other party is thinking far more accurately than the words that may come from his or her lips. In fact, some business books advise people to pretend that they are interested by deliberately using specific body language. For example, one source states that the steepling of hands is usually interpreted as a sign of deep thought. Doctors and psychiatric professionals often steeple their hands when listening to patients. The result is that someone who deliberately steeples tends to be considered a deep thinker and powerful, intelligent, and wise person. The expert recommends that business people steeple in meetings or while listening to colleagues one-on-one. I find that if you put your thumbs under your chin and do that, that you can get a good rest as well. So you don't really know what's going on sometimes. Even St. Paul himself uses body language in our lesson from 1 Corinthians today when he decides and he's trying to describe how a church is supposed to operate. Oh, we don't know if he steepled his hands or not. He used body language of a different sort. What St. Paul does is compare members of a church to parts of a body. Some of us are eyes, some of us are ears, some of us are mouths, some feet, and some noses. And I'll leave you to figure out who is who among us. Paul's message is a very simple one, and yet it's also quite vital. First of all, St. Paul says each one of us is indispensable. Each one of us is indispensable. A physical body is in trouble if it loses one of its members, and so is the body of Christ. C.S. Lewis once said something about the church that I believe is important. He said that the model many of us have in our minds for the church is the same model that we have for secular organizations. That is, we think of the church as an organization that we join. Then we do what members of an organization normally do. We come to meetings and we pay dues. This is not Christ's model for the church. This is not. Christ's intent is that his people will be joined to his church in the same way that members of a physical body are joined to that body. It's a living, interdependent relationship. The body gives life to its members, and they, in turn, are indispensable to the body. For the person in whom Christ dwells, being actively involved in church, is not merely an option any more than an eye has an option about being involved with a physical body. Losing an eye is a tragedy, both for the eye and for the body. Christ is saying that each of us is indispensable. We all have a place in his family. We're indispensable, says Paul, but we are also different. A nose and a mouth are different. Both are indispensable, but they are different. They have different functions, different gifts to bring to the body. So it is with Christ's body. Some of us are strong at some things. Others are strong at other things. We just frustrate ourselves when we try to keep trying to be something that we're not. Those of you who are basketball fans might remember a few years back, a lot more now, 1993 to 1994. Remember when Michael Jordan decided he should be a professional baseball player instead of a basketball player? He put on the right uniform and he used the right equipment. He was even assigned to the right field. But watching Michael Jordan play baseball was not anything like watching Michael play basketball. Fly balls hit him in the chest. His swing lagged inches behind a fastball. He referred to the umpires as referees. He ended up being sent to the Birmingham Barons, a minor league club. We just frustrate ourselves when we keep trying to be something we are not. Each of us has strengths. Each of us has places that God can use us most effectively. We just need to make sure that every one of us is using the gift that God has given us, that we're doing what we can do best. If we don't use our gifts to God's glory, it's a sad misfortune. Both for us and for the family of Christ. Catherine Elliott compares it to a bottle of perfume. She writes, "When I was about 10 years old, Grandma received a gift of perfume in a bottle that absolutely fascinated me. It was made of green pottery with a long, slender neck and a square bottom. It looked like pictures I had seen of ancient ware. I begged Grandma to open it. No, she said, I'm going to save it till later. When I was 33, Grandma gave the perfume to me, saying, let's see how long you can keep it without opening it. One day I picked up the perfume bottle. I was shocked to discover that it was empty, although still sealed. Turning it over, I could see why. The bottom of the bottle had never been glazed. The perfume has slowly evaporated through the porous clay. How sad that no one ever enjoyed the perfume, not Grandma or anyone else. And how disappointing for the gift giver. Then it struck me that I frequently treat God's gifts to me in the same way, not using them because of shyness or selfishness or just plain laziness. Failing to use our gifts disappoints God, and we deny others the opportunity to enjoy God's blessings with us. God's will for God's people is that we use our gifts. Oh, and we can see that happening here. We can. You people know the Spirit. You know the gifts of God. You know all the kinds of gifts of God, and you know how to use them, and you share them. Do you have a clear sense, as you think about how your role has been here? Do you have a clear sense of the ministries you're involved in now? Do you have a clear sense of how to name and call what your gift is here? And how you've been able, and what impact you've been able to make here within the body of Christ? We all have gifts, and each of those gifts is important. We're all necessary, and no one is more or less important than the other. We're all indispensable, and we are all different. The third thing that St. Paul says to us is that we share one gift, the greatest gift of all, that we share the gift of love. That is one gift that we share. In fact, our lesson for the day leads right into chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, in which St. Paul says that no matter how many other gifts we have, if we don't have love, we don't have anything. The most important gift, Paul tells us, is love. Even more important, the love of Christ is what we have to offer the world. This is what the church is all about. This is who you and I are. We're members of the body of Christ. We don't make the body of Christ. God does. We don't provide the gifts which keep the body of Christ alive and functioning and doing His work in the world. God does. We don't define or choose who belongs in the body of Christ. God does. We're members of the body of Christ. Not members as the world thinks of members of an organization, but living members attached permanently to the body. Each indispensable, but different. We are all joined to one another and to the world for who Christ died by an amazing love that longs to call all of the world's people to become one in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are to use all of the gifts of the body of Christ to do His work in the world. We are to seek justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God as Christ's body, doing our part, whatever that may be, our part. Not as isolated individuals, not on our own strength, not with our own wisdom, but as among those whom God has bound together into Christ's body, the church, to manifest God's love for all people in our time and in our place. Amen.